This is Adrian from the Green Screen of Death. Just wanted to include a brief editor's note before this episode starts. Due to a technical error, we lost our previous episode that was supposed to precede this one. The episode included lightning reviews of Inherent Vice, Selma, American Sniper, and a bunch of others. They also included our worst picks of 2014. So because we lost that episode, we're going to have to re-record it, maybe later this week or next week. There are parts in this episode where we refer to that now lost episode that may sound a little bit confusing. We apologize for it, but hey, you get the good stuff first. So thanks for listening and enjoy. Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So welcome back for our second half recap of 2014, where today we're going to talk about our top films of 2014, talk about some honorable mentions. We'll also talk about some films that maybe flew under the radar and are worth checking out. Maybe you haven't seen it.
Sorry for making you wait.
That's right. We had to stagger it out. Last year we did this podcast that was like 3 hours long and it was ridiculous and we hated it so much, so we're like, let's break it down into two. It'll be shorter that way.
Cream of the crop coming up, baby.
Yeah, that's right. We're very excited about this. The two of us, we don't discuss it ahead of time. We kind of get a sense of what each other has on our lists, but I told Bill before we recorded, I'm like, dude, I have two curveballs that'll probably fuck you up. So I don't think it'll be that shocking to you, but may surprise you.
Adrian's going to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy. Number three, I, Frankenstein.
No.
Boom, drop the mic. No, I'm not going to do anything that crazy.
I will walk away.
That's right.
Really will. Yeah. Terrible film.
Yeah. That's right. So before we start our top 10 and everything else I mentioned, you went back and listened to our dreadful first episode.
Torture.
We talked about our top films and our worst films of 2013. What did you come up with? Yeah, I think you're going to recap what we picked.
I just wanted to recap it. I got a question for you first, buddy.
Yeah.
What was your number one film of last year? Do you remember?
The last year, man. Oh.
How about your number two film? Less pressure.
Oh, I want to say Her, but it wasn't Her.
Her was number two.
Her was number two. Okay. What was my number one?
What do you think it was?
Number one. Oh, shit. On the spot. Hugo. I'm just kidding. That's like 2012. 2011, actually.
It's a good film.
Yeah, I love Hugo. Yeah. Man. Oh, just before we started recording, Bill mentioned this, and he was going to quiz me, and I was like, oh, fuck, what did I pick? Last year, 2013.
I'll put you out of your misery, dude.
Yeah.
Before Midnight.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Okay, Before Midnight. I'm cool with that.
All right, I'll quickly run through both of our top 10s from last year.
Cool.
Top 10, number 10, Why Don't You Play in Hell?
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Number 9, About Time.
Oh, sweet.
Number 8, Before Midnight.
Yeah.
Number 7, The Great Passage.
Nice.
Awesome
nice.
Film.
I still haven't seen
awesome
it.
Awesome film.
Yeah.
Number 6, Blue is the Warmest Color. Number 5, Short Term 12.
Wicked.
Number 4, Tracks. Love, love. Number 3, Her. Number 2, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Nice.
Do you remember my number 1?
Oh, hang on a second.
Upstream Color.
Upstream Color.
Bam.
Nice. And Adrian's number 10, Blackfish.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Love that film.
Number 9, Gravity.
Yeah.
Number 8, Upstream Color.
Yeah.
Number 7, Blue Jasmine.
Yes.
Number 6, 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
Number 5, Spring Breakers.
Yes.
Number 4, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
Number 3, Frances Ha.
Yes, I still stand by that. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Number 2, Her. And number 1, Before Midnight.
Wicked.
Yeah.
I can go with that. That's awesome. Well, yeah. thanks for going back and listening.
Yeah, I thought because I constantly tell people not to listen to that episode, so I did, and it pretty much killed me. I wanted to tell everybody what it was so they didn't have to listen to it. So yeah. you're welcome.
Cool.
All those are great films if you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So check them out.
That was one of my big regrets that I left Short Term 12 off my list because that is a phenomenal film. And what a film for everybody involved in terms of launching their careers, right?
Yeah, the kid who played Marcus shows up in Selma.
Yeah.
And
he's amazing.
He's amazing in it. Fresh face, good looking kid.
He was in the original short too for Short Term 12, wasn't he?
Short Term 12 is so good.
Yeah.
And there's a couple movies on my list that I haven't even really come out yet, I don't think. The Great Passage, which is a Japanese film, which is just spectacular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Why Don't You Play in Hell is finally out.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sion Sano.
Awesome
film. He's an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got one coming out this year called Tokyo Tribe.
Yeah, that's right.
Kick all your ass.
That's right.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, a special note I wanted to mention on our top 10 lists. Bill is going by films he watched in 2014. That includes festival films where the films may not be released just yet.
If I've seen it, it's on my list.
Yeah, if you've seen it in 2014, it's on his list. I was going to go with that, but I pussied out. And I was like...
I forget stuff.
Yeah.
It's so easy just to like not remember.
Yeah.
So why not do it?
Yeah. So when I did my first draft of my list, I was like, well, there's only one or two festival films that won't see a release until 2015. The reasoning behind me sticking with wide and limited release only in 2014
because you're a pussy
is it'll make it that much easier to recommend it to people at the end of next year, where it'll be more available. Hopefully be able to say, oh, this movie such and such, you can rent it now on iTunes or on demand, buy it on Amazon, stuff like that.
Man, it's cool. It's your own list.
Yeah,
do what you want.
That's cool. It's all a preference thing. Everybody has their own. Some people include films that weren't even produced in that year, so it's all good.
Some people rate movies out of 4 stars and some write out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Rate out of 5.
Yeah.
You might not. That's cool.
Yeah. I just wanted to include that at the front of this just to let you know, because I suspect at least 2 of Bill's picks will be on my list next year. So
I just want to say it right off the top. My list is right.
Is that right?
It's right.
All right. Mine is fucking wacky, dude.
My shit is tight this year, nice. Man. Tight.
My first 2 picks, I'll fully admit... Actually, my full list, actually. I picked films that spoke more to me. Films that I... Dude, you're laughing. Films that I really connected with on a personal level. Films that I just really vibed with. So while my number 9 film may not... I know for sure it's not technically as good as some of the films that I did not include on my list. I chose it because I vibed with it a lot more. I thought it was... For me, it was more enjoyable. Better experience.
No, it's like I was saying to you last night, the film that we watched last night, I said, was probably my favorite film of the year, but not the best film of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes you just feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there, and you see it on every single list that people make. You're just like, whoa, that's on their top 10, but you know what? It's personal to them. That's what they prefer. And art is subjective. That's the crazy thing about art, you know?
But really, if you have Exodus, Gods and Kings as your number one film, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I deserve to be ridiculed if there's anything bad on there.
You suck.
Yeah. And right before we started recording, I was still writing stuff. I was still rearranging a couple of things, and I finally solidified it, and I said, you know what, I'm happy with this. I'm very thrilled with this.
As I said, my list is perfect and right. So what's going to happen is I'm going to say my list, and Adrian's like, shh, oh, I totally forgot about that film.
I forgot about that.
You're so right, Bill. like we did in the bottom five, I like said a movie, and he totally forgot about it. So I am definitive.
Definitive Bill.
Shit. I am a Renaissance cop. That's
right. Oh, man. That is perfect.
Sorry, that was a little inherent vice line.
That's right. That an amazing one too. Yeah. Oh, dude! When you first started writing your films down for considering top 10, like I know we all have our own methods, but did you write down all the ones you were considering? And
I had 22. I had 20, but I just added two more. 22 5-star films.
Nice.
So I wrote them all down, and I just started tinkering with it. The problem with anything after my top 10, they're all just really damn good films, and it's just general feel, as you said earlier, but they're all 5-star films.
Wicked.
Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, that's awesome. When I wrote all my lists, all my films I was considering for top 10, I think I wrote about 30 down, just brainstorming, going, okay, this one I consider. These are all films where at the end of the movie, I thought, when I watched it through the year, I was like, okay, that's one I'll consider for my top 10. I had to dwindle it down to 10, which killed me.
Do you have a top 20?
I sort of do, but okay. I haven't solidified 11 through 20.
Okay, well, how about we do the top 10 and then just for shits and giggles say the rest of them?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That sounds cool?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, cool.
Where should we start? Should you start? Should I start? What do you want to do?
I'll go.
Cool.
Okay.
Do it. Number 10.
Number 10. Ida. Last podcast, I used the word masterpiece.
Yeah.
I do not. Nothing has wavered. And I know you've watched it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Do you agree?
I fully agree.
Yeah.
It was shot recently, but it looks like it was shot in the 50s or 60s. Yeah.
Really rare do you watch a film and there is no false notes in it at all.
This truly.
It's just an absolutely stunningly beautiful film. I didn't know where it was going. And I know, I've watched a lot of films, and I thought I knew where it was going, and it completely just blew me away.
Yeah.
And it's a film that has been winning awards in Europe. And I don't think a lot of people have seen this film over here yet.
Yeah.
But it is just beautiful.
It's amazing.
I love this film.
Yeah. And shot in the Academy format, right?
Yeah.
Beautifully shot. Like the images are just, everything is just pure magic. It's awesome.
So you saw it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix USA.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you have access to Netflix USA through DNS or whatever, VPN, highly recommend you check it out.
If you live in Canada and you're not doing Netflix USA somehow, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. Yes.
Yeah. So number 10. Ida.
Nice. Love that film.
Love it.
My number 10, Chef. Nice. John Favreau film.
Fuck yeah.
I was like, when I was doing my list, I was talking to Sarah. I was like, there's no goddamn way I'm leaving Chef off my top 10. It's a film where John Favreau is truly putting himself out there. You know, he's a chef, and there's a lot of obvious parallels to him talking about his path as a blockbuster filmmaker, and now he wanted to do an independent film before he got back into the blockbuster days.
I find it funny that he's like making The Jungle Book now.
I know. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe he just needed that. And there's just so much love put into this film. The performances are amazing.
Entertainment wise, I don't think you're going to find a better film this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's so watchable.
Yeah.
I wrote a couple of notes down. I said it celebrates independent vision with the freedom of expression. And I truly believe it's a slice of America, warm performances. And I wrote down feel good movie of the year. And who doesn't love to watch a feel good movie?
Yeah.
I love Chefs so, so much.
I think they owe us money on this film.
That's right.
We were really carrying the flag for this film.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really proud of that. It's a couple films I think we really tried to champion and get people to see.
Yeah.
Because we literally talked about Chef every podcast, like almost on purpose.
Just, oh, yeah.
To like try to get that film to people.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not on my top 10 or top 20.
Yeah.
But it's a really damn good film.
Yeah.
I just bought it on Blu-ray last week and I watched it again and yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love Chef. Love it so much. And there's a bit where he confronts a food critic and that scene just broke me. Made me want to throw away my laptop.
Still don't think that, and you said that it was totally not, it's totally like a thing that happens. I don't think Jon Favreau could get those chicks, but
oh, it happens. It happens, dude.
Yeah, he's pulling some major league ass in that film.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle's a chef. He knows.
Nice. Kyle's a pimp.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so number 10, Chef.
And before, just me totally taking over the podcast again, like I always do, shout out to Adrian's brother, Kyle. Shout out to his wife, Sarah, too. I know I should have talked about this last podcast, but Fantastic Fest was really rad this year. Those are the two people who weren't in our podcast that were with us. I wish Kyle could have been on our podcast at Fantastic Fest, actually.
Yeah, he was too busy drinking.
This is true.
And partying.
Kyle
and
is a wild man.
Yeah.
Love it.
And he watched a lot of movies, too, totally. Which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I can't do that, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
My number 9. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Sweet.
Wes Anderson.
Nice.
I know when we first reviewed it, we called it like the greatest hits package. It's just a really damn good film.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. He's so meticulous. You watch it, like I've seen it probably 5 times now.
Yeah.
And I still see stuff in the background. It's just weird stuff.
Yeah. Little kids shining shoes.
Yeah. He's such an amazing filmmaker. Don't really want to talk about the awards, but that Ralph Fiennes guy, he's pretty good.
He's awesome.
Yeah, just a really great film. I hope it's on your list.
It's on my list. Shows up later.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Number
9, Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but...
I'll talk about it a little bit later.
Sure.
My number 9, my curveball.
Oh, God.
The Raid 2.
Nice.
I could not leave this off my list.
I remember on the mid-year show where I laughed when you said The Raid 2.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I was like, what, dude? Fuck you. The Raid 2 rocks. And I love it. Gareth Evans, he's a truly innovative filmmaker doing fantastic, phenomenal things on a shoestring budget. Like literally, he could only buy shoestrings with the budget he has. He makes films that look and feel so much better than pretty much everything out there, especially when it comes to action films. Just
he killed 18 Asian people in that film.
That's right. I swear.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he didn't.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
He killed people in that film. I'm sure of it.
Sometimes on Twitter, he'll take questions, and I always send questions. And he answered one of mine, and I asked him...
how much was the budget?
What was the budget? No, I asked him, what kinds of injuries do people suffer on the film in the creation of The Raid 2? He said he hates seeing people injured, and the worst that they really ever got was like sprained ankles and bumps and bruises.
Decapitation.
Decapitation. Brains exploding. But yeah, The Raid 2, just, I wrote a couple notes down here. Let's see. Just top level action. I love the practical stunts and special effects. Memorable characters. Precoso, the guy who played Mad Dog in The Raid.
Dude.
He's got this long hair.
I'm going to jump in here for a sec.
Yeah.
Do you hear that all those guys are in the new Star Wars film?
Yeah, that is awesome.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who plays Mad Dog is in this, and he has a bit part, but man, it's so effective, and just his character brought me to tears.
Chilling
he had,
stuff.
He had That's enough great. Going for him that I was deeply moved by a character that had about 5 minutes screen time. I think it's amazing. I hope he sticks to his guns and keeps doing what he wants to do. And I really hope that the rest of the world catches up and supports his films, because The Raid 2 did not make a lot of money. There's so much heart and soul poured into this film. I just could not leave it off my list.
There's a few films this year that people did not do good by. And this is one of them. Like, I think this film made like 1 million bucks its opening weekend. And that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one of the, if not the greatest action film in the last 10 years.
Oh, big time.
15 years.
Yeah.
Like, not, you've seen nothing like this. And if you have, you're lying.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Asian films, and Jackie Chan never did this shit.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan would never do this stuff. And he did his own stunts. This stuff is brutal. If I had to ask Gareth Evans a question, I'd be like, so honestly, who died in that like highway scene?
Yeah.
Because somebody died, right?
Yeah. The car chase scene is amazing. Wow. And they did practical shots with that. Like, they dressed a cameraman in a leather seating cushion. It's crazy. When they shot it, they handed the camera inside to a cameraman, and he shot the driver. And then you see a, you know, another car come into the frame. And then the guy passes it to the back seat. And then the guy in the back seat goes to the window and passes it to a guy who's dangling outside the car. And he gets the final shot. And it's just so seamless and amazing and just such innovative filmmaking. Man, I love The Raid 2.
He's going to make a really rad Star Wars movie one day.
That would be, I would love to see that. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, he's, you said it last night, legit, he's like the great action filmmaker right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the best going
right
now. He's
a little better than Olivier Megaton.
Olivier Megaton?
The director of Taken.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I think anybody is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number nine, number The Raid 2.
My number eight. Don't know if this is going to be on your list, but Under the Skin by Jonathan Glazer.
Not on my list.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Right, cool. Shocking.
Wow. Okay. as I said, my shit's definitive.
Look at my shit. Look at my shit.
Your number five movie of last year.
That's right.
Yeah, just one of those films that just you have no idea what's going on, and it freaks you out so much just by being dark and scary and moody with an amazing score. One of the scariest films I've seen was all year, easily.
Oh, yeah.
I still say Citizen 4 is, like, the horror film of the year.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is scarier than that film, and there's no violence in it at all. Some people are not going to like Under the Skin. You're wrong. But,
yeah.
This is amazing film. It was, I remember on our first podcast, I said that Under the Skin was my most looked forward to film in 2014. And did not disappoint.
It's amazing.
I know you like it too.
Yeah, so. I only saw it once. I suspect it'll probably climb the ranks after I revisited it again. Man, I'm a visual guy. I love visuals. And this one is just a visual feast of just amazing images and amazing photography.
And you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so disorientated right now. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, and you feel terrified.
Yeah.
And there's no violence.
No.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing film.
Yeah. So yeah, my number eight, Under the Skin.
My number eight, we've already talked about it, Ida.
Nice.
Yeah, love that film. Devastating story with superb performances and some of the finest photography of the year. Every frame, you could snapshot that and put it on your wall and it would be beautiful. Man, just the way they shoot the film. It's just so, what's the word I'm looking
classy.
For? Classy. And the framing is unconventional and it all works beautifully. Like there's a lot of empty space in the film when you're watching it. You kind of pick up on why there's that empty space, that lonely empty space of one character just in the corner of the frame or the very bottom of the frame. It's a beautiful film. I saw it once. I'd like to watch it one more time just because it's beautiful. But man, it is. If Chef is the feel-good movie of the year, this is like the feel-bad movie of the year. Pretty much. It's up there. And that's not a bad thing. I love this film.
I found beauty from that pain.
Yeah.
I think it's a spectacular film.
Yeah, and I told you that I believe, in a sense, this is kind of reckless for me to say, but the same way the Japanese made Gojira to deal with nuclear fallout, to kind of use that as a coping and healing mechanism, I believe Ida was made by Polish Jews to kind of deal with that pain, to move on, to find something out of it. You know, it's a story that needs to be told. Certainly, I'm sure there are other Jewish, Polish Jews and that have gone through this experience.
Come on, man. Aldo the Apache got his 100 scalps.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's.
I want my scalps.
That's right. So, yeah, it's a film that just rocked my world when I watched it. And, oh, my goodness.
I always hate when I'm on the podcast and, like, I was talking about Ida and I said it was a masterpiece. And I always have this deep down thought that somebody's going to watch it and just be, like, completely, like, you're so full of shit. And I totally... thought that for some reason that you were going to watch it and be like, oh, it's only, it's okay, it's really slow.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm, yeah, super happy you liked it.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, so that's my number 8, Ida.
Number 7. Birdman.
Wicked.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about this film already. I was so happy to have seen this film pretty early, and everybody I talked to, I talked about Birdman. This was my tell everybody film. Michael Keaton, after that piece of shit Need for Speed film.
No, that's right.
Comes yeah. back and just destroys. And you got Edward Norton just destroying. And Naruto just being on another level filmmaking wise.
Yeah.
This is probably the best shot film of the year.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only because it has a gimmick that's really not a gimmick. It's, he tries to make it into one take.
Yeah.
It's pretty well known.
It's just a style choice that really works for the film.
Yeah. So, you know, film geeks like me, I don't know about you, but trying to find cuts. I can't wait to own this on Blu-ray so I can, like, put my face up to my TV and, like, try to figure out stuff. And yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing film.
Oh, yeah.
Everything you've heard is true.
Oh yeah,
and
it's the goods.
Yeah, I really hope that Keaton. I hate the Oscars, but he's like a 60-something-year-old man. You know, give him something.
Then
he can not work in Need for Speed kind of movies.
That's right,
and get some prestige films.
Yeah, yeah, he deserves to be doing whatever he wants. Birdman shows up on my list a little bit later.
You know what's really sad, though? He was easily the best thing in Need for Speed.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome. He was crazy in that one.
Yeah. Terrible film.
Yeah.
Yeah, number 7, Birdman. I forget the rest of the title.
Nice.
It's got a giant title.
It does.
Yeah.
And the...
Something of
virtue something.
Yeah. Should have wrote it down.
Of ignorance.
How unprofessional we are.
We are so professional.
Full name of Birdman now.
That's right.
Oh,
and the virtue.
Birdman 4.
Oh, Birdman 4. You make Birdman 4. Just the way he goes, oh, I love it. The unexpected virtue of ignorance, I think, is what it's called.
Point for Adrian.
Yeah, that's right.
Couldn't remember his number 1 film last year, but he remembered the title of Birdman.
That's right. I hope I remembered it. We'll see. My number 7, Selma. Essential filmmaking to a bleak story. DuVernay just pulls no punches in a film that would make Michael Haneke proud. He probably watched it and was like, fuck yeah. David Oyelowo.
Yeah. Look at the whiteys over here.
That's right. I said it today, and I said it perfectly, I swear. I was practicing. Anyway.
In front of the mirror?
Yeah, that's right. I was. I was like, you're a fucking Beretta. And Oprah Winfrey in his, you know, 2-scene performance just devastated me. And I love that they spent a lot of time with the supporting cast, kind of taking the spotlight a little bit off Martin Luther King and giving a little bit more perspective on the big picture, which speaks to, you know, a movement of people. Selma, just
I still don't
beautiful.
Believe. I still don't believe Spielberg owns those speeches. Like, that's really cheesy.
Yeah.
That should be public domain stuff.
It should. I heard this on another podcast from somebody else, so I'll look into it. So yeah, my number 7 is Selma. We talked about it last episode.
My number 6 is Selma.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah, we talked about it last podcast. It's stunning stuff. The thing about my list, like, from 8 to 4, they're all, they could be interchangeable.
Yeah, probably mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Selma's a really damn good film. I hope it does really well. It's not, I hate to say this, but it's not just a black movie. I know that sounds
not
bad.
At all.
I know it sounds really bad, but no, this, it's essential viewing. Everybody should see it. And the cool thing, I've heard they're doing a lot of free screenings of the film.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, for students and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If you live in the States, of course. Cause yeah, Canada sucks. But yeah, yeah, it's a special film. Special film.
Oh yeah, yeah, Selma, phenomenal.
So that's my number six. What's your number six?
My number six, Birdman.
Nice. Hey! You didn't jump in?
No, sorry, man. I didn't know what to do. I just wrote
a few. Confused.
I wrote a few notes down. I put it's a celebration of cinema. We need to stop celebrating franchises. Let's celebrate art, pure art.
Even though it's about a franchise,
pure art at its finest. And yeah, you're right. It is about a guy who had a big franchise and is using that as leverage to do what he wants. But it's beautiful to watch. Some of the best performances by everybody involved. Norton, Watts, Galifianakis is tremendous in this. And Keaton, of course. Yeah, hell of a film. Emma Stone as well. An actress that I was kind of turning on for a while. But now I'm becoming more of an Emma Stone fan.
Adrian has this shit list of female actresses that he does not like.
That's right. She was almost put in stone on that list. Oh. But no, she's not going to be making it there. So yeah, that's my number six, Birdman.
Birdman. Number five. my midway number one. Enemy.
Ooh, Enemy, yeah. Hey.
Enemy.
Nice.
For some reason, thought this film was not going to drop. Like, I think it's one of the more imaginative, holy crap, what the hell just happened films that I have really weird thoughts about that people disagree with.
Yeah.
But that's really cool because yeah. Everybody seems to have their own idea about
yeah.
What happens with the two Jakes.
Yeah.
I think it's about spiders.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve constantly is just putting out damn great films. And guess what? He's Canadian.
Yeah.
But he's French awesome. Canadian.
Yeah.
The film's not for everybody. It's really wacky. And there's some spiders that are really scary.
Yeah. I'm afraid of spiders.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. Doesn't show up on my list, unfortunately.
Whoa.
I know. It's crazy. What?
I told you I was definitive. Told you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, as I said, all these films are interchangeable. All amazing films. It was my number one at midpoint.
Yeah.
And I believe it was also yours.
It was, I think it was up there. Was it? Definitely up there. I think Blue Ruin was my number one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Enemy was number two or three.
Okay.
Yeah. Some yeah. stuff did change. Nice. I said in the mid-year point, I was like, this is subject to change. And it did. But yeah, Enemy is Enemy, amazing.
Number five for me.
Nice. My number five, Inherent Vice, Paul Thomas Anderson film that we just talked about last episode. It's a fucked up film that made me feel like I was doing drugs. Only two films did that for me last year. A Lego Movie was another one. But Phoenix delivers the goods. The supporting cast, they're all on top of their games. You blink, you'll miss something. Yeah, it's a deeply rewarding film. It's both very frustrating and a fun challenge to watch. Because when you're paying attention, you're rewarded with awesome payoffs and crossing paths. And some of the best comedy we saw all year. Just hysterical and amazing.
A jury pool.
Yeah.
Full of hippies.
That's right. And a lot of people... That's right. Oh, man. The hippie versus, white collar white man is just amazing in this film.
And we saw it with a pretty, I'd say, big audience who of different like males, females, races, ages.
Yeah.
And that film killed.
Everybody was vibing. Everybody with that. Was
just loving it.
Yeah.
Laughing at the right spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's higher on my list.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome.
As I think you might have figured out from me talking about it, where I was just like gushing over it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like a lot of these, man, like I'm sure.
Dude, this was
six
hard.
Months down the road.
This was hard.
It is. And it's a reflection of the great year we just had.
Yeah, my top five, there's not a lot of wiggle room on that. They're all really, really great, stupidly good films. I just think the top two are next level.
For me, it was number 4 to 10. I probably could have drew them out of a hat. And, nice. But yeah, this is just the order I picked.
You know what's weird? Okay. I think it was last week you told me something. You were like, don't be surprised if you see blah, blah, blah in my top 10. And you haven't said it yet.
Oh, I haven't. Ah, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe I planted that seed to fuck you up.
Nice.
Maybe I changed it at the last minute, which I think is what happened.
Nice. So did you number 5?
Yeah, you're on number 4.
Number 4, Mommy.
Sweet.
Xavier Dolan's, you've never seen anything like this film.
Yeah, truly.
Shot in a weird aspect ratio to amazing effect. I remember when we first saw this film, I was talking with Marina Antudes on her podcast, and I said, it almost feels like this would be what it'd be like to see Citizen Kane in 1940.
Oh, wow. No way.
Just Orson Welles was known for doing weird stuff that nobody had ever done before. Dolan in this film is just, he's trying stuff. And I just love that. Don't be a boring, stupid filmmaker who just makes the same stuff over and over. He's trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And even if you don't like the film, and the film is spectacular.
Yeah.
You have to just give it up for his just originality.
Oh, yeah.
And the stuff he's doing with that frame, which shouldn't work.
Yeah. No, not at all.
It shouldn't work. It's like this like box in the middle of the screen. You're thinking, well, it's going to be super tight.
Yeah.
And nothing is going to work composition-wise.
Yeah.
And then it does.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, like, why has nobody done this before?
Yeah. And he does some creative things where you're like, wow, why wasn't that done before? But am I ever glad he did it first?
Yeah.
Such an amazing film. It shows up later on my list, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. Mommy, man. Yeah, it's the shit. Yeah. I love Mommy so much.
Save your thoughts for when it comes up.
My number 4, Blue Ruin, the revenge thriller by Jeremy Saulnier, starring Macon Blair. Man, I really connected with this film in a big, big way. I watched it in a festival audience. Got blown away. I was just dripping in tears.
You know what, though, dude? I've known you for a while. You know me for a while.
Yeah.
We don't have festival goggles.
Yeah, exactly. And I did revisit it, you know, when it came out on demand, and I was still just as moved, if not more. Love this film.
This is another film I think that I didn't necessarily as much as you did, but
yeah,
another film that we kind of championed.
Oh yeah,
to try to get people to see.
Yeah, because it did not see a wide release.
No,
didn't play in a lot of theaters. Basically, it's a story about a guy who, when you start out the film, and I'm just going to lay down the framework, homeless man. You know, he's just getting by, scraping by.
Living in
his car. Then a police officer visits him and says, "This, I just wanted you to be in a safe place when I told you this news. So-and-so got out of jail, or is getting released from jail, you know, next week or whatever it is." And then he immediately goes into action. It's clear that the person getting out of jail harmed his family in some way, and he feels he needs to get revenge on that. And man, it is just a bloody mess that feels genuine, feels just personal.
Yeah, because I've said this before, you think it's going somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that film.
Yeah.
No, it does a 180, and you're like, wow, okay, this this dude made this film with no money and had to Kickstarter to finish it.
Yeah.
And wow, look what's on the screen.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's beautifully shot too.
Yeah.
Jeremy Solner got his start as a cinematographer. So when he made, when he, you know, became the director, he had that kind of background, and he's a very technical guy. So he had all the technical stuff down, and just telling this really personal, amazing story. Man, I just vibed with it so much. And Macon Blair is just on another level in this film. He plays the lead character. And man, he is...
He would win in my alternate Oscar pool.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. I can't say enough things about Blue Ruin.
There's like the comparisons to like the Coen brothers and, you know, people like that. No, this is pretty original stuff. And it's not on my top 10 list. It's not on my top 20 list, but I adore the hell out of that film.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
A special film.
So yeah, that's my number four, Blue Ruin.
My number three is Paul Thomas Anderson's Inherent Vice.
Nice.
We already just talked about it. It's really rare when a film just kind of destroys you. First time I watched this film, I finished the film and I was like, okay, is that film really as damn good as I think it is? Mm-hmm. Because it is so screwed up, and I'm not sure if I got parts of it.
Yeah.
But I know this film is great.
Yeah.
Went and watched it again last night with you, and everything that I thought plus more.
Oh yeah.
PTA had my favorite film of 2 years ago, The Master. He is just special stuff, man.
Oh
there's,
yeah.
There's he's on another level.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an event when he makes a film.
Yeah.
It's like
you don't have that kind of thing. Like you think back in the day you had like Kubrick or Robert Altman or somebody like that, or like, if you want to go from the main, like off the mainland, Akira Kurosawa or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the best, if not the best, filmmakers going right now. And this might be my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film.
Yeah. It's one that I feel basically the same way. But I'd have to revisit everything again just to be sure.
Even though I said that The Master was my favorite film of 2 years ago, I think this film is better than The Master.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, man, I have a hard time
comparing shit
even
like
commenting on it. Both are just phenomenal. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Phoenix in that interview bit. Just
he makes really amazing films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have a bad one in the bunch. Go and see it.
Yes.
Go with an open mind, you know, smoke up.
Maybe get high.
Everybody else is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Number three, one of the great films that I'm really sad isn't my number one film of the year. Cause I think it's really that. It'd be my number one film in any other year.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
This just says how amazing my one and two are.
Yeah.
But yeah, easily my number one film of last year or any of the previous years, Inherent Vice.
Yes, Inherent Vice. Awesome. Yeah, it feels crazy to me to put it at number five, but like you said, it was that good a year, the movies. Yes, now my number three, I think your heart may sync with this one a little bit. My number three, Boyhood, the Richard Linklater masterpiece.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you? Man, I struggled. Even putting it at number three felt like it was too low a ranking. But man, this film just... Linklater still teaching me life lessons, even though I'm a grown man. And just making a film that's just special. And, you know, the fact that he shot it over the... What was it, 12 years?
Yeah.
Over the course of 12 years, that's not a gimmick in this film. It's not played as a gimmick. And I'm afraid that people will say that. People have said that. But it's so, so much more than that. It's, man, it's an intimate story. I just love watching everybody grow in this film. Arquette just rocked my world. Coltrane rocked my world. What's Linklater's daughter's name again?
Lorelei,
yeah. She was amazing, you know? Like, she does a lot of heavy lifting in the early parts of the film. With some really funny stuff.
It's funny that you talk about her. She for this film to work, everybody has to come back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Year after year after year. supposedly Lorelai kind of lost interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why she kind of disappears.
Part of the film.
Wow. And then comes back later when she's like 2 or 3 years older because she just didn't want to do it anymore.
Wow.
And that's like the director's daughter.
That's right.
And she just decided not to do it and like almost ruined this like opus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a film.
It's higher on my list.
It's higher on your list, so I'll let you talk about it shortly. Your number two.
My number two is one of them festival films that we disclaimed at the beginning.
Disclaimer, that's
coming
right.
soon to a theater near you. The feel-good film of 2015.
Uh-oh, I think I know what this is.
The Tribe.
Boom! The Tribe, son! I love that.
Before I even talk about it, will The Tribe be in your top five?
Next year?
No, like this year.
Oh, The Tribe. If I did put it on my list, it would probably be number two or three.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As I said before, my number one and number two are just above everything else because they're next level. This film is in sign language with no subtitles, which, you know, like Boyhood, you say, oh, that's a gimmick. And totally will not work. But no. We saw this film at Fantastic Fest. A very picky audience.
Yeah.
And this killed them all.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is just a beast of a film. And you've never seen anything like it. Violence-wise, it's off the charts.
Oh, it's brutal.
And it's every parent's nightmare about their children. And these people are like, can't speak. And they're like, it's like The Godfather.
Yeah. Starring, you know, 17-year-olds.
Yeah, who are just the shadiest people you've ever met. They're into prostitution and drugs and everything is just off the wall.
Yeah.
And it's a bloody masterpiece.
It's amazing.
As I said, next level stuff. You'll see nothing ever like this again.
Yeah.
It's what, you know, once it's been done, it's been done. But it's the second best film of the year.
Yes.
And also would be my number one film any other year.
Yeah.
Of this year.
Yeah. That one had some of the most beautiful shots and setups and tracking shots. So for people like me who are just like, love to jerk off to stuff like that, man, this movie delivers on every level. And the kids who are in the film are non-actors, which is fascinating to me because the director really got some great performances. And it's crazy to say that it's just kids doing sign language but it's all body language, posture, the way they're framed,
and
the story
exactly
they tell,
exactly what they're saying too.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
weird. Like you think it won't work. And I will admit it took a little, like you're watching it for the first couple of minutes. You're like, okay, this is really weird.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it just like
clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's next level stuff. We get to watch it again. It's it's coming to the Victoria Film Festival next month. And I cannot wait to see it again. When we first saw it, I said, I don't think I can watch this film again. Like it's really brutal.
Yeah. Oh, it's nasty. It's a nasty
but
film.
But I've kept on thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to see it again.
Yeah, me too.
Drafthouse Films has it, so you know it's going to be in good hands.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can't wait for people to check this film out because it's going to kick your ass.
It will.
And it's going to destroy people.
It will.
That's why I go to film. Challenge me.
Yeah.
And that's the film.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, The Tribe.
The Tribe. Wicked pick, man. My number two, this one shocked me when I was doing my notes. So it's like, I just kept going back and forth. I put it at number two and I was like, it makes sense. It makes sense for me to put it here. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Nice.
Wes Anderson's greatest hits album. It comes together to form his best film to date. Each shot is meticulous, beautiful. It's funny. It's sad. It's personal. And when you think about it, in a sense, he's using a lot of World War II stuff without pissing people off. He creates his own little world, and it's all very clearly based on World War II, but you don't even think of that. Like, you didn't, it's just Wes Anderson. And I say this in the kindest way. This will probably come off bad. But I said he's a grown-up playing make-believe in the best possible way. He is just doing amazing things in cinema. Again, this film has a very small aspect ratio, right? Changes.
Yeah, it changes with the times.
It changes, yeah. Through the film, it does change because it does play in a couple of different timelines. But man, the film had me laughing, had me going, oh, I like that. And then in the next frame, had me in tears of melancholy. It's just such a beautiful film. I love the characters. Connected with all the characters, I felt invested to everybody. And he has this bit where he basically has all of his actors in his previous films come together in one sequence. And it's not flashy or showy or saying, look who I got. It just works for the film, and it's beautiful that way. Man, I love
Wes Anderson is also one of the great American filmmakers going today.
Oh, yeah.
Also has pretty much an almost perfect record. I don't like The Life Aquatic. I never did like it.
I didn't like it. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, and I think it's that's the film where he just got kind of too into himself. If you haven't seen Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah. That's the shit.
That might actually be my favorite Wes Anderson film.
Oh, is that right?
I love Fantastic
Mr. Fox. It's a great one.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it was like my number 9 film of the year. I got nothing more to say about it, but it's spectacular stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good choice,
sir. Yeah, thank you. You're number 1. Shock me.
The best film of the decade, Boyhood.
Nice. I like that.
Shocking. Well, we've been talking about it for saying it's the best film of the decade for 6 months. Adrian just got me a really sweet Blu-ray of Boyhood, by the way. Thank you for that, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Like collectible packaging, and it's amazing stuff. I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, what can I say? A couple days ago, I got my Amazon Boxing Day order in, and Dazed and Confused was in there. I didn't know Dazed and Confused, which is really weird. And I watched that film. You know, everybody loves Dazed and Confused, right? And I'm thinking, this film is just so great. And he's just doing stuff in this film that he's just keeps on refining and refining and refining throughout all of his films. And then he makes this film. And I remember walking out of it, I'm just like, this is just, seriously, I can't believe this film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking.
Yeah.
But this, everything in this film hits for me.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. I watch this film, and I just get giddy.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
It is. It is.
You know, we talked about the gimmick. There's no gimmick. It's next level.
It is.
You didn't think of it, so stop being a bitch.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. He's that good. He really is.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to the Marc Maron podcast that he was on.
Yeah.
Boyhood was his childhood. His mother was the teacher.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he was the kid. No word of a lie. I say it like it's nothing, but honestly, I honestly think it's the best film of the decade.
Wicked.
Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that, man. I think that's awesome that you get behind it like that.
Yeah.
What a film to champion, Boyhood. It's great. It has everything. All the feels, as the internet would say.
But Kelsey hated it.
Oh, you mentioned that.
Whatever. I don't care.
That breaks my heart.
I'm going to stop talking about it. It's driving me nuts. Yeah. What's your number one, dude?
My number one, Mommy.
Nice.
Xavier Dolan just killing it. I think it's the finest ensemble performance of the year. The three main characters, I was so emotionally invested with each one. I cared about where they are and what they do. And I'm a big sucker for three wounded souls who get together and try to make the best of things and try to make their lives better, give each other a leg up kind of thing. I'm a big sucker for that. And man, this film just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
The love and pain that's just poured into the film drips off the screen. The soundtrack is just perfect. Incredible story. Not once did I feel the runtime, and it's, what is it, like 2.5 hours or something like that? It's a ballsy film that hits all the right notes, just connected so well with Mommy. It has, by far, my favorite cinematic moment of 2014. I won't spoil it, because I'm not an asshole.
Because when it happens, you're going to gasp.
Oh, yeah.
Audibly, and everybody around you is going to do the same thing.
You're going to go, holy shit.
It's just so perfect.
This film filled my heart with joy and sadness and everything in between. And man, when a filmmaker can make me feel these emotions while watching their film, I feel so close to that person. And man, this movie kicked my ass. My parents watched it. My mom loved it. She was like, I know what that's like. Some of the things she was going through.
Actually, my favorite character in the film is the teacher.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Suzanne Clement's character.
Yeah,
she is so beautiful in that film. Like, everything is perfect in that film. But I think she's like the shining light in the film.
Yeah,
you talked about the three people being wounded. There is a giant obstacle in that three,
mm-hmm.
and also think he is good.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I already said that. I thought this was a masterpiece too.
Yeah.
I've been kind of wishy-washy on Dolan. Mm-hmm. His first movie I thought was really, really great. Then he made a kind of good movie. Then he made a really terrible film. And then he made a really good film. And then he made this.
Yeah.
And all those previous films are not even... Who knew he had that?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard about it from Khan, and everybody's like, oh my God, he's going to win the Palme d'Or. He's 25. And he's a dick.
Yeah.
Because he is.
Yeah.
He'll probably even tell you he's a dick. But he's a really talented dick.
Yeah.
And not good enough to be Oscar-nominated dick.
Yeah. Oh, that's just a travesty.
It's pathetic. Just once again proving how pointless the Oscars are.
Yeah.
They just completely forget stuff that's just perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this, after I watched it, I was like, that's my top film, and nothing surpassed that this year for me.
Dude, how awesome was that screening of Viv?
It was amazing.
I know, me, you, and Marina were just, after the screening, just looked like we'd been, like, tasered.
Yeah, we were on a high, just man.
So yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, great stuff. Amazing. So yeah, my number one is Mommy.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Film year.
Yeah.
So the one that you left off was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. It was between that and The Raid 2. And I was like, well, The Raid 2, foreign language film, innovative filmmaker, not to take anything away from James Gunn. But I was like, well, enough people are putting Guardians in their top 10. I don't think anybody involved with that will be upset if I leave it off the list.
How amazing would it have been if they had put forward The Raid 2 as that country's Oscar nominee and it got nominated for the Oscars?
That would have been crazy.
And they had to show a clip package from The Raid 2 at the Oscars of like people getting kicked in half.
Yeah. Getting shot in the face 30 times.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. Head blown up with a shotgun.
Guardians of the Galaxy is really damn good.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
It deserves all the love it has got. But I still stick by the thing I said during our review. And I think you said it best when you said your film is only as good as your villain.
Yeah.
And that villain is paper thin.
Yeah. Yeah. He's... and Lee Pace, he tried... You know, he tried to do what he could with it, but couldn't save that character. No.
Kudos to the filmmaker for making it as good as it was with that shitty villain, though.
Oh, yeah.
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 Great film. I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so there you have it, our top 10. Wow. That's crazy. Our second top 10 of the podcast.
And it didn't take us 14 hours to do it.
That's right. Oh, and the first time we did it, I actually fucked up the audio, so we had to start over again. You remember that?
Oh, dude, we recorded like a half hour of it.
Yeah.
And we were already so nervous.
Yeah.
That it, I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I was so brain dead.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I picked the wrong mic. We got to start again. Cool.
Awesome film here, man.
Yeah. Great. Great stuff. And I love your list. I love my list. Mine's a little bit better, but
as I'm just kidding. My shit's definitive.
That's right.
Do you have some 20 to 11 action? Or
I do 11 to 20. I have honorable mentions in no particular order. I just wrote 10 films down.
Nice.
Do you want me to just quickly read them off?
Yeah, just read them off.
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, this one, Only Lovers Left Alive, killed me to leave it off my top 10.
Such a good film.
Tilda Swinton, Tom Hiddleston, Mia Wasikowska, Anton Yelchin.
John Hurt.
John Hurt. Man, that movie's my shit.
Yeah.
Killed me to leave it off my top 10. This one killed me as well. The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. I went back and forth between that and Chef. Man, I love the beauty of that film. I love the story they tell. One of the films that made me cry the most in 2014. I should do a top five films that made me cry the most.
Heart of Stone here, man. No crying from Bill.
No crying. That's right. Whiplash. I never really consider it for my top 10, but for top 20, man, that finale, man.
The problem with Whiplash, the first time you watch it, it's really this holy shit. And then the second time you watch it, you can kind of see some flaws in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a really damn good film.
Yeah.
It's in my top 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a couple of scenes in that film where I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there's some stuff. Yeah. I don't want to get into it too much.
That last 10 minutes, though.
So. Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, dude.
Damn.
Enemy. Definitely in my top 20. A movie that just kicked my ass. I loved. Saw it two or three times theatrically and have watched it twice on Blu-ray. Amazing film. If you haven't seen Enemy, you really need to get with the times.
I think you meant to say the number five film of the year, though.
Oh, yeah. Misquoted that. Also, the one I love, Mark Duplass and
Elizabeth Moss.
Elizabeth Moss. Yeah. Man, I love that film. That's a film with just such an original idea, with great performances, and it's so simple and beautifully shot and has everything going for it. I just couldn't find room for it on my top 10, but it's a movie I loved.
I might be talking about that later.
Cool. All right. Another one I wrote down, Cheap Thrills. That's another one we've pimped quite a bit.
And how can you not?
Yeah. Oh, man. That movie kicked my ass when I first watched it, and I've watched it a few times on Blu-ray now. It's great.
I'm going to be the snob here and say, that was a 2014 film for Bill.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah, that's right. The Trip to Italy. Man, that was on my top 10. And then we watched Selma and Inherent Vice, and then it got booted off. Oh, man, this is finally somebody made a movie about men talking about the things they love, the things they feel insecure about, trying to one-up each other, the insecurity of men, and just, oh, man, I love Trip to Italy.
Featuring an actually funny Steve Coogan.
Yeah, he's brilliant in that.
And the great Rod Brighton.
Yeah, can't they both. That. They both just
funny film.
Yeah.
Love that film.
Another one, I felt like a bad human being for not including this in my top 10.
Dude, there's only so many spots.
Citizen 4, the most important documentary of the year, if not the most important film of the year. Just an amazing, amazing film. Edward Snowden shedding light on a place that nobody wants to go, or we're all afraid of, and he's going, this shit is real. Citizen 4 is a hell of an experience.
Everything you think in your brain that possibly isn't happening when it comes to government, he proved it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really scary.
Horrifying experience. Yeah. And it's one that still crosses my mind when I'm driving to work or whether I'm at work or whether I'm at home watching movies. especially when I'm on my computer, you know, when I'm on my phone. Oh man, that movie. It's essential viewing. So Citizen Four, not quite on my list. And I usually like to try to include one spectacle film, one film that's built for the big screen. Couldn't find room for it on my top 10. I put Godzilla in my top 20. A film that just blew me away with the imagery.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let me think about that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to think of a spectacle film.
That's a film that I think I saw it three times theatrically. And man, I loved the ride each time. Just love Godzilla, and I own it on Blu-ray, and I've watched it once, and still holds up nicely for me. So those are my 11 to 20.
Okay, I figured one out. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Nice. Yeah.
A really, I think, underrated film in the summer. Everybody was, you know, talking about like X-Men and all those films. I just rewatched it a couple days ago. I bought the Blu-ray, and man, that is a damn good film.
It's smart, too.
Yeah, super smart. The first one's great, too.
Yeah.
Taking nothing away from that film. They're both really damn good. Godzilla's really good, too.
Yeah, I love Godzilla.
People bitch about, Godzilla always shows up. Well, shut up. Shut up.
Those people hate life.
I know.
Hate fun.
It's a damn good film. I'm going to go 20 to 11. How about that?
Sounds good.
Number 20. A movie is coming out this year that nobody has seen. But it's awesome. Welcome to Me.
Yes. Nice.
Yes. Kristen Wiig is going to destroy all you people.
She will annihilate you.
Oh, man. I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's coming out, but seek that one out when it comes out. Number 19, Bennett Miller's Foxcatcher.
Sweet.
A really dark flick.
Yes. Grim.
Go in not knowing anything.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the ride. It's a pretty serious flick, but Bennett Miller is also a very damn good filmmaker. All his films are kind of the same, but I love his films.
Yeah, cool.
Number 18, The Wind Rises.
Nice.
Hayao Miyazaki's quote-unquote final film, mm-hmm. until he decides to make another one.
Yeah.
Heard it before. See it subtitled, Don't Be an Idiot.
Yeah.
Number 17, Whiplash.
Nice.
Damien Chazelle's J.K. Simmons destroying Miles Teller film. It's good.
It's awesome.
It's a little, couple little niggles on the second viewing. But yeah, as I said, that's that last 10 minutes, you will not see a better 10 minutes of film this year.
Yeah.
Wish just the rest of it had that energy.
Yeah.
Number 16, A Most Violent Year.
Sweet.
J.C. Chandor's follow-up to the Robert Redford in a Boat film. It's a main character around people who are way more shadier than him, and he doesn't quite know it.
Yeah.
And everything just kind of goes to hell.
Yeah.
It's nobody's talking about this film, and it pisses me off.
Yeah. And it's right in the wheelhouse of cinema lovers. It's a muddled American dream, grimy, badass, gangster without being gangster film, you know? Like, I think you and Marina said it best. It was like, or was it just Marina that said that? She said it's a Scorsese film without the violence, pretty much. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I can go with that.
Featuring an amazing haircut from Oscar Isaac.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Number 15, a film I wish I could have got higher. Really do. Wild.
Wicked.
Reese Witherspoon going on a life-affirming journey across a trail. I just rewatched this film a couple weeks ago, and I really love this film. I love any kind of film about people just trying to find themselves on a journey.
Yeah.
It's really damn good.
Cool.
Number 14, the Palme d'Or winner, Winter Sleep.
Nice.
It's 3 hours and 25 minutes long. It's very intimidating.
Yeah.
Not a lot goes on. It's just people talking.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. And wicked. It is beautiful. Everything looks like a painting.
Nice.
More so than Mr. Turner. That film was about paintings.
Oh, man.
Number 13, Interstellar.
Boom. Nice. Yeah. Right on.
I like this film more than you.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really damn good sci-fi film. And I think Christopher Nolan is also trying a lot of stuff that other people aren't.
It is risky and ballsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will reward anybody trying to make cool sci-fi films.
Yeah.
And I make it sound like he's a poor independent director. I'm pretty sure Nolan's doing pretty well.
Yeah, but it's not an existing franchise, right? No. It's him doing original shit. That's just amazing. Yeah.
I'm weird. My favorite Christopher Nolan film is The Prestige.
That's probably mine, too.
I love that film. It's another great film that was just kind of ballsy.
Yeah.
And about magic.
Yeah.
Who makes films about magic? Christopher Nolan.
That's right, yeah.
Number 12, another film people haven't quite seen yet because it's a festival film, Wild Tales.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Adrian's going to see it in a month.
Yeah.
And it's going to ruin him. It's the funniest film. We'll talk about it more when it comes to the Victoria Film Festival.
Cool,
because I think it's really damn good.
Yeah.
One of my top picks of the Vancouver International Film Festival.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
I missed it at VIFF.
Did you?
I did.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Number 11, another festival film.
Nice.
I break all the rules.
That's right.
Spring.
Wicked. Yeah, you championed that one for quite a while.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the hell out of this film. It's like the before sunset, sunrise, midnight films.
Yeah.
With two people just talking, and the female is a giant lizard.
Yeah. A genre twist.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Cool.
And it's going to destroy people in a couple months when it comes out in the spring.
Yeah.
And that's my 20 to 11.
Cool.
They're all also definitive.
Nice. Yeah. That's right.
My shit's tight this year, man.
Shit's tight.
My shit's tight.
That's right. Oh, cool, man. That's awesome. Well, there's our top 20 films of 2014.
Expanded edition.
Yeah, that's right. Extended edition. Anyway, we also wanted to talk about some films that flew under the radar. Maybe they didn't make our top 20. That doesn't mean they're not really cool. How many did you write that you want to suggest to people?
I think I told you top three, and then I wrote four.
Oh, you did, yeah. That's right.
Because I'm me.
You start at four and three, and I'll jump into three.
Okay, number four is Adam Wingard's The Guest.
Nice.
Another film that we completely just didn't support.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's on my list as well.
I just bought the Blu-ray a couple days ago. People, buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'll love the film.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Supposedly, it's like the number three movie on iTunes right now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Simon Barrett was on Twitter talking about it, how like proud he was of it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I am so with you. Like, it's Dan Stevens just being the man.
Yeah.
Proving that more or less he is like the action star of the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said he's Paul Walker with better charisma and better acting chops.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Number four, the really, really criminally under, whatever the word I'm looking for, not seeing The Guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And your number three, I'll jump in at three.
The One I Love.
Nice.
Yeah, which was on your top 20.
Yeah.
Speaking of films that you think you know where it's going and it goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
Really cool idea about, alternate realities and them kind of meshing.
Yeah.
That Mark Duplass is criminally underrated too. If we're going underrated stuff. Elizabeth Moss is on Mad Men, so she's not really underrated. But Mark Duplass is awesome.
Yeah, he's Mr. Independent.
Yeah, not just making movies. He's also in The League. Really good TV show.
Yeah.
Forever Unclean. That's right. So yeah, my number three, the One I Love. Check that film out. I think it's on Netflix.
I think so.
You should be able to see it pretty easily. I think you'll totally, everybody will love that film.
Yeah.
Great sci-fi. Love great sci-fi.
Yeah. My number three, this is available on Netflix. The Battered Bastards of Baseball.
Hell yeah.
I love this film. I'm a sucker for baseball films and... Yeah, it's about baseball, but it's also about, you know, the little guy taking on the man.
Kurt Russell's dad.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Owned a baseball team, a minor league, single A baseball team?
Yeah.
Took a bunch of misfits, guys who smoked and drank beer and weren't the most athletic guys, but he put together a team and they kicked ass. And they were the last independent team to exist in sort of the realm of pro baseball. I think that's a shame. It's a story worth telling, and It's a story worth watching. Yeah. Man, check it out. It's on Netflix, The Battered Bastards of Baseball. That's my number three.
Even though I said my list was definitive, I completely forgot about that film. It is great stuff.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah.
I remember watching that and telling you to watch it, and I was just like, wow. Nobody I know will watch it because it has that stupid title.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, what? What's with the title? But no, check it out. It's awesome.
It's great.
My number two underrated film of the year is Coherence.
Sweet.
Which I don't think you still haven't seen.
I still haven't seen it yet. Damn,
no. Dude.
Yeah, I know. And I think Sarah is like, you need to watch it.
Another awesome sci-fi film that nobody has seen or heard of. It's original, and that's weird in sci-fi because nothing is ever original anymore.
Yeah.
It's like Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
But yeah, weird alternate realities like the one I love.
Yeah.
People being themselves. You have no idea what's going on, and it's beautiful.
Wicked.
Love sci-fi films.
Yeah.
Nobody makes good sci-fi anymore unless you're Shane Carruth.
Yeah.
But or Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
But yeah, my number two, I think it's on Netflix.
Cool.
Maybe.
I think it's on the U.S. Netflix, I think.
Because Canada sucks.
Yeah.
number two, Coherence.
Nice. My number two is available on Netflix, I believe. Canada? Afflicted, the found footage monster movie. And also happens to be shot by a couple of Vancouver guys. And man, I vibed with this film. It is awesome. It's one that Canada did not support. And one of the biggest organizations that supports Canadian film did not even tweet about it.
First Weekend Club.
Which is a goddamn shame.
Pricks.
Yeah, this is Canadian funded by the government, all Canadian production.
None of my friends were in it, so I couldn't say I liked it.
I guess so. It is awesome. Check it out. We've talked about it a bunch. Yeah, a couple guys go backpacking in Europe and shit happens and it gets crazy and it feels very personal and awesome and I connected with the characters, so Afflicted is my number two.
I saw Afflicted on the first show on opening day and there was two people in the theater.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And I felt so terrible.
Yeah, that's a damn shame.
Especially after I watched it and I'm like, wow, this is really damn good and nobody's watching it.
Yeah. But they'll fucking show up in the truckloads for the Purge Anarchy.
Yeah, for every dollar that went to the Purge, we should have given it to Your Next last year and
yeah.
The Guest and
yeah.
Afflicted.
Yeah.
Yeah, just we did wrong on these films.
Yeah.
My number one most underrated film of the year, The Gambler.
Oh, nice, man.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
Snuck up on me. I had no idea what it was. I talked about it last podcast. Marky Mark being just a complete shitbag and just continually does worse and worse things and gets into worse and worse situations. And all the actors around him, the John Goodmans, John Goodman has never been better.
Wicked. No way.
So amazingly great in this film.
Yeah.
Brie Larson's in it.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
really?
Her first major role since Short Term 12. And she's also really damn good. Omar Little from The Wire is in it.
Nice.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Omar Little.
Yeah. Omar coming.
Omar coming, yo. Yeah, it's... Nobody saw this film, and it's a damn shame. It's going to piss a lot of people off, because it's really, really bleak.
Yeah.
But I eat that shit up. It's like the good 70s filmmaking, you know? No punches pulled on this one. It's
cool.
It's a beast. Yeah, nice. Number one most underrated film of the year, The Gambler.
Wicked. My number one, we mentioned this already, The Guest.
Nice.
Adam Wingard's film. Feels like a throwback. Like if you put this back in the 70s or 80s, man, this film would kill. You know? It'd be the one that you suggest all your go rent that tape, The Guest. It's awesome.
What's this tape?
That's right. What's the lead guy's name again? Dan Stevens?
Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens, man. He is a movie star. He is built for the big screen, built to be a leading man. He is so funny, so scary, so everything in this movie. Man, I vibed with the guest a bunch. Hell of a film. Just came out on Blu-ray. So I'll have to order my copy. It has a commentary track and everything, and I'm a sucker for those. So yeah, that's my number one.
Sweet.
So I guess that wraps our second half.
Our first year in business, man.
That's right. Oh man, that's crazy. It's hard to believe a year's gone by.
Many more to come.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right.
I sound super excited about that. Sorry.
We'll make it happen, man. Time and space, they can't pull us apart.
Yeah, we'll keep on doing podcasts every 3 weeks. And
yeah,
Adrian's going to South by Southwest and will die of heat stroke.
Probably.
Because he's always something happens to Adrian at festivals.
Yeah, I get sick, something, fall down, hurt my knee.
And we'll hopefully continue just whooping some ass and hopefully putting out some good stuff. And hope you all like it.
Yeah.
It's been sweet, man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm stoked.
Congrats on the year.
Yeah, congrats to you too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people, please throw us a comment, like, subscribe to us. Helps us find a wider audience. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, any other podcast platform. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. We'll pop up and hit that subscribe button. We hope you stick around.
Nice.
We're also on Twitter, @TheGreen_Screen. You can find me on Twitter @Adrian_Charlie. Where can they find you, Bill?
And I am @SoundJam69, and I don't talk.
That's right. Thanks again, everybody, for checking us out. Thanks for sticking through this episode. It runs a little bit longer than usual, but hey, it's our...
But it was 16 hours shorter than last year.
It was. Yeah, so we hope you stick around. We're looking forward to bringing you another awesome year at the movies and the podcast for The Green Screen of Death. So thanks very much for listening. We appreciate it. Hope you stick around. Hit us up. Say what up. Until next time, thanks very much.
Peace.